views on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily...
I suck.
I think you're trying to beat your record.
I suck. What can I say? Hey, so today, just in case you were thinking we were going to do this the whole time,
I know you want us to.
We're super not... There we go. Dear God, make it stop. It isn't the new year yet. We can still do what we did this last year.
We need bubbles.
I think
that's for tomorrow night.
I think we've qualified that already.
Yeah.
They're in our head. People are like, exactly.
Man.
Thank God I don't have to call in and tell them that. Wanted to let people know that next week, yep, we actually know who's on next week already. And I do believe the page is up. Yes, for January 6th, it's on the website, wethepeopleradio.us. Robert already has it up. We have Dr. Doug McConnell, who is a heart surgeon.
I'm really looking forward to that show.
I'm sure there are
many. No, I am too. He's been on with Carl.
Yeah, he's
on a regular basis or a semi-regular basis.
And he'll be actually here.
And
on the phone, yeah.
And the description we're using is he's going to talk about the tragedy that is Obamacare.
Yeah, the wider implications.
Yeah.
He is our go-to guy for Obamacare locally.
I'm very, very excited about that show.
Yeah, I was talking to him when we were ringing bells, and we were having this conversation about the country and patriotism and this and that and the other and Obamacare, and it's like, hey, you should come on the radio. So we are going to do that next week for those of you who would like to.
You have been on the ball, Aaron.
I mean, honestly, at Christmas, we got into that discussion, with my mom, and they're like, well, we don't think it's going to be that bad. It's like, oh, okay. Well, you're 75, so good luck to you.
And you know what's interesting is the folks that are in that age group, because I had a similar conversation with my dad, and he's 75. And the way a lot of them feel is we are at a stage in our lives where we don't have time to try to change things. We are trying to just live the best quality life we can while we still have it. I know they're thinking very short term, and if I was 75, I would be too. And it's difficult to get past that. How do you tell someone, I understand that you're 75 and you've lived a very long life and now you're just trying to get up every morning and live the best life you can while you're still here? How do you tell them that they have to become an activist? It's hard to get past that wall.
Well, it was interesting because we weren't advocating at all. We weren't advocating getting involved. We were just advocating to pay attention.
Yeah.
To be aware that, Medicare was going to be changing and they have TRICARE.
Mm-hmm.
And they already came after TRICARE once.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they think that that's a sacrosanct program, that the government would never screw with TRICARE.
Nothing is safe.
No, all bets are off.
All bets are off.
So
that's a good point. Good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, they think, oh,
he got
his
second term, so now it's going to be...
Yeah, that's never going to be changed. I'm like, well, the people that you elected aren't in charge of it. It's Kathleen Sebelius who's in charge of it.
That's right.
So you really don't know what's going to happen. Oh, well, we don't believe that.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Well, let's see. With the amount of information you have, the fact that you don't believe it is, irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So anyway, it came down to... the classic, we're not going to be alive to see it anyway, so we're just going to choose to be happy. I was like, whoa.
And at which point you say, okay, and we're happy that you're happy, but what about us?
Yeah,
following generation.
I actually was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
That was kind of a surprising thing to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that conversation ended abruptly.
And that age group, they are hanging on to the last portion of their life. I mean, they're staring it in the face, and... not in their shoes.
Hey, here's a comment from someone in that age group that I'm related to. This is the other side of the coin.
Oh, hi LV Dad.
He says, sorry, but age, old or young, is not an excuse. Being active is their new task as an old person, same as you have tasks as a young person.
Oh, I agree with you, LV.
Bingo.
I agree with you completely. Just convincing some people of that is really tough.
Well, remember, old people still vote.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
As a voting bloc, they can be a powerful force.
Well, rather than push it on Christmas Eve, I waited till Christmas morning. Until while we were walking the dog, I told my mom, I said, I know you don't like to talk about unpleasantness. However,
I'm going to bring it up anyway.
When it is reality, I said, just kind of going back to that conversation we had yesterday, I don't want to rehash it and I don't want to try to convince you. I think I'm telling you the truth.
You just don't want to deal.
and you don't want to deal with it, and that's okay. But just understand that people like me, we are going to do something about it. And my mom said, well, what are you going to do? Like, what is, you know, it was that whole big giant, what is one person going to do? And I said, Mom, you know, if you can't see the problem now, think back through history. Let's go for the egregious example. Let's look at Germany. I said, you know, if people didn't fight that, if there were no Schindlers to make the list, you know, that could have been a lot worse.
A lot worse.
And it could have been avoided if people would have paid attention, but they didn't. You know, well, they watched their neighbor get dragged off, but since they weren't dragging them off, it's like, shh, they probably won't find our house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just interesting that, you know, and I'm sure somebody out there is going, nice of you to ruin your mother's Christmas. Yep, sorry about that.
Well, and I think that they're, I think they're closing their eyes and they're crossing their fingers and hoping that if they think good thoughts, it's not really going to happen. You know, good thoughts and good intentions, well, that can change the world, apparently.
Yeah, we're just going to, oh, they said we're just going to think happy thoughts. I was like, wow, I think we have music to go with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we're playing right now, but whatever music it is, we're going to find out. All right, we're coming back with Jim Bierce. We're going to talk about stuff, wildlife issues and stuff. You're going to like it. We're here at We the People Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
There's fresh coffee for you back there, by the way, Aaron.
Thanks, man. I'll get my feet in it right away.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers, here to wish you a safe and happy holiday season. While spending time with family this joyous time of year, keep in mind some simple signs that mom and dad may be needing some more help at home. Many families notice changes in their loved ones while seeing them over the holidays. Is the mail stacking up? Have you seen past due notices? Have mom or dad forgotten to turn off appliances or failed to lock the doors at night? Check the refrigerator for food freshness and expiration dates. And check medications. Are they being refilled timely and taken properly? For more tips and information on how you can help, visit ReadingHomeHelpers.com or call me, Sharon, for an in-home assessment and learn more about Home Helpers and our many home care services. Call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or visit us online at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. This holiday season, give your loved one the gift of safely remaining at home. Happy holidays from Home Helpers.
Hey, Carl, I just got back from Tobacco and Brew. Guess what? They have a special cigar selection ready to go and packaged for Christmas.
Wow, ready to go? Hey, what kind of coffees do they have?
Pumpkin spice latte and my favorite, Jack Frost.
You know, they also have a new selection of humidors and great wines. All the things we love. Hey, hon, hop in the truck. Let's go.
We'll see you there this holiday season at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
KCNR 1460 kicks off 2013 with a new lineup that includes new faces and familiar friends. Following Free Fire Radio, Mike Huckabee from 9 to 12 noon. Laura Ingram makes her triumphant return from 12 to 3, followed by Dennis Miller to round out your afternoon. It all starts January 2nd, right here on KCNR 1460. Happy New Year.
A very happy New Year.
2012 was certainly a year to remember, even without talking politics. We saw a tragic shooting in a movie theater in Colorado, Superstorm Sandy devastating huge sections of the Northeast, and an attack at a U.S. consulate in Libya. We'll touch on them all, and then some. Join Fox News Radio's worldwide team of reporters for 2012, a year to remember.
Be listening this New Year's Day, Tuesday morning at 8, here on AM 1460 KCNR.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
time is truly wasted.
Welcome back. And if I didn't say so before, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin, We the People Radio.
And follow that song, Fight the Powers That Be.
Yes.
There you go.
So we're going to get right to our guest, and I'm going to give you a little bio. You know, we've been dealing with a ton of environmental issues in Northern California, all rural parts of America, actually. And there is an all-out assault by a lot of the agencies, both federal and state. And Jim's going to kind of clue us in on the big picture there. Jim Beers retired from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 2000, where he served as a career wildlife biologist, a U.S. special agent, chief of national wildlife refuge operations, wetland biologist, program analyst, and congressional fellow. He was stationed in North Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, New York City, and Washington, D.C. He has a bachelor's degree in wildlife resources from Utah State and a master's degree in public administration from the University of Northern Colorado. He served as a U.S. Navy line officer on board ship in the Western Pacific and a U.S. Navy courier officer in the Aleutian Islands. He also worked for the Utah Game and Fish Department and the Minneapolis Police Department as a security supervisor at several sites in the Washington, D.C. area. Since he retired, Jim has written over 1,400 articles and papers and spoken to various organizations throughout the country concerning environmental and animal rights excesses, constitutional solutions to the controversies surrounding private ownership of domestic animals, the management and use of wild animals, and environmental harmony between man and our natural world. There you go.
Nicely done.
Thank you. And on that note, Jim, you don't have to fill us in on anything. We can just cut to the chase. Good morning.
We actually did it for you this
morning. Thanks for asking me on.
Well, thank you for joining us.
I've been getting your articles from guys in Siskiyou County now for, like, a long time. And I kept thinking, you know what? We need to have him on. Originally, we were going to talk about wolves, but that kind of seemed like the tip of the iceberg.
Well, I'm curious, Jim, what do you think about the recent victory in Siskiyou County?
Well, I follow that from a distance, and I'm in contact with some of the ranchers there, as well as a couple of the hunters there, and I'm not that up to date on what just has happened recently. I've been working on other issues as I do on that.
Well, Aaron can fill you in on that.
No worries.
Yeah.
They basically beat Fish and Game at their own game. They tried to do a watershed-wide 1602 permit that would have required them to have a stream bed alteration permit just to irrigate. So to open their head gate and utilize their water right, they would have had to have a permit for that.
And keeping in mind
that... I was following that, yeah. I didn't know that there was a recent development there.
Oh, it was a Christmas...
it was a Christmas present.
Christmas Eve.
Oh.
Gotta love it.
And, you know, and for our listeners, these water rights that come with the land have been in some of these ranchers' families for well over 100 years. And, Aaron, what was the ultimate cost or the potential cost to these ranchers and farmers?
Well,
with these...
I mean, the thing is, whenever you permit something, you know, I mean, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not even... I love it when they come in to permit initially. It's not even going to cost any money. So they think everyone's going to roll over for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, how long will that last?
And it gives these agencies rights to come onto your property anytime.
Yeah, and control. You know, it's kind of like if you have a well, you know, hey, how'd you like to meter that?
Mm-hmm.
Not
yeah,
so
once
much.
You let them on and sign anything.
Yeah, forget it.
They kind of take over.
Well, Jim had sent me a list of, just so that our listeners kind of have some idea of where we can go. He had sent me a list of possible topics, and I thought the first one was kind of the smoking gun, if you will. The transformation of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Forest Service, and BLM from managers to land, managers of land to closers of land. And I'll save the rest because I think that really honestly is where everybody is with this. We're watching our agencies that work for us, paid by our tax dollars, on land that we own, public land, lock us out. Where were you in that process, Jim? What was going on in 2000?
I was sent home from work for 10 months and
you were
paid and put on leave that I didn't have to charge because the government was trying to fire me because I was a whistleblower and testified before Congress about them stealing millions of dollars, the federal U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, from money that was supposed to go to state fish and wildlife agencies. So we finally had a big cash settlement, and for 3 years I couldn't speak about anything to do with that, but I wrote about other things and spoke about other things, but since then I write and talk about that. But when I mentioned to you those three agencies, the Fish and Wildlife, Forest Service, and BLM, those are the historic agencies that manage land in the United States for 100 years almost now, all of them, along with the Park Service. And the new kid on the block is EPA.
Mm.
And what you were talking about with water rights, EPA is the one spearheading that. And the EPA employees and the employees of our traditional land managers, the Fish and Wildlife Service, the Park Service, the Forest Service, and the Bureau of Land Management, they all now are majority share in the opinion, honestly, I mean, if we were to sit down and have coffee with them somewhere in a booth and talk with them, eventually you'd pick out the fact that they believe that farmers abuse the land, that ranchers abuse the land, that hunters are killing most of the animals, and a lot of rural people really don't belong out there because they really disrupt the environment. So they want to do something about that down deep in their own hearts. And what they do is, what the EPA is doing with water, they're carrying forward the argument that started 30 years ago. They tried to pass laws that said that the federal government has jurisdiction over all waters of the United States, even though the Constitution only granted the federal government any jurisdiction over navigable waters, and that was for harbors and rivers that were going to have commercial traffic, particularly where states came together or whatever. And that was all that was the Constitution ever intended, but the EPA is carrying forward what they couldn't pass through Congress and wouldn't have been constitutional. They're trying to make it a regulatory thing here. They're working with your state agencies in California and all the rest of them, just like the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Forest Service and the BLM, the Park Service, have corrupted most of the state wildlife agencies and state park agencies into becoming really subcontractors for the federal government. But when we talk about the transformation, we're really talking about the change in the employees to do the bidding, carry out the agenda of all these groups that have emerged in the 70s and 80s and 90s, the Sierra Club, the Wilderness Society, the Natural Resources Defense Council, Humane Society of the United States, all with agendas that want to get rid of dams, they want to get rid of hunting, they want to get rid of any fishing, they want to restore the native ecosystem outside of all the urban areas, and literally, they ultimately want to drive the people that use the land off the land. They certainly don't want any trees cut out there, they don't want any forage grazed, they don't want places plowed up and put into crops. And they're slowly strangling, particularly in the West. You see it there from California, but they're doing the same thing here in the Midwest, and they're doing the same thing in the South, whether it's because they say there's a red-cockaded woodpecker somewhere, or for a while they were saying that a bird that was extinct for 60 years may be out there, so they had to stop any land uses, and that they should try to sell the land to the government, or they wanted them to give an easement and try to strong-arm them into doing it. The same thing that they're doing there in Siskiyou about the water rights business, that they come in and they say, well, it may be that you people think that you've got water rights, but let me tell you, right now, the world is changing, and from now on, the state and the federal government are going to come in here and make these judgments, and you don't really own your land anymore, the water under it. That more and more it is sort of a something from the goodwill of government that can be withdrawn under the right circumstances, the right courts, the right party in power, the right cataclysm or whatever comes down the road. So all of these people are changing things. And the way it happened in the federal government real quickly was that it coincided with, during the Carter and years, the push for sort of affirmative action in the federal government. And Mondale wrote regulations, and they took the law that for equal opportunity, and they said that the federal government should hire more women and minorities. And on the face of that, that looked, it's not a bad idea, I guess. There aren't very many in here, so we should hire more of them. And what they wound up doing was, within a year, they said, well, you know, there aren't very many of them out there graduating in these things that we say you have to have for these particular jobs. And Forest Service, you had to be a forester. Fish and Wildlife, you had to be a biologist. And BLM, you had to have range management classes and all this. And they said, well, let's just change some of those so that we can hire more people from sociology and veterinary science, blah, blah, blah. And within another year, they said, you know, we should be promoting more of these people because we don't have many women and minorities at the mid-level and the upper levels of these agencies. And then they found out right away that, well, it says here that you've got to have worked in a regional office and worked in two field stations in order to get this job in Washington. Or you have to have worked in Washington before you can get a job at this level in a regional office. And all the managers looked at each other and they said, you know, we're going to get bonuses based on meeting these quotas that they're giving us.
Mm.
And those, you know, this is keeping us from putting women and minorities in all of these positions. And so they did away with those requirements, okay? And the thing driving that was that for years, those top managers in all of the agencies in the federal government had a performance plan on that they could get a bonus based on it that usually had two or three items that said things like supports the policies of the secretary or implements those plans by the director, blah, blah, blah. All of it kind of airy-fairy stuff. Where if I liked you, I could say, you know, gee, Aaron, I don't think you've really been supporting these policies well, but, you know, I think we're going to give you a level of one and give you this much thing. And if I didn't like you a lot, I could say the same that, you're really not supporting the plans that the director sends down, blah, 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 and maybe try to push you out if I didn't like you or didn't want you around. But anyway, that was money. That was real money. For these guys, that would be the difference. These top managers meeting those quotas for women and minorities, it would mean the difference between getting maybe $5,000 and getting $20,000 or $50,000 for the year. So they looked at their plans and they said, well, we're going to put an item in here that says all hires, promotions, and transfers in fiscal year 1981 or whatever have to be women or minorities. And you would try to meet that. You would have your administrative people keep track of that down to the tenth of 1%. But quickly they discovered that, well, you know, if it says 15%, what if I got 25 or 30? They were up to numbers like 60 and 70.2%. See?
I'm sure that was the intent.
That got you the bonus. But even more important, if it changed, the director changed or the president changed, and somebody might come in to get rid of you, this one that you had a number for, you exceeded by 174.2%, see? So it was a dual thing. So more and more women and minorities without these requirements. Now, I'm not knocking women, minorities, or whatever,
no.
I want you to just step back
we
and think.
That.
When I give a talk about this, I say, imagine if somebody had said years ago, you know, the Defense Department doesn't have any Quakers in it. And we need Quakers in there because there are a lot of Quakers in the United States. And everybody said, oh, yeah, that's a good job. Good deal. And so you went into an affirmative action thing for Quakers in the Defense Department, and you wound up with maybe 60, 70%, maybe 80% of the people within about 10 years that you hired, promoted, and transferred are Quakers. I submit that your Defense Department would be a vastly different entity than what you think a Defense Department should be. And what you wound up with in the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Park Service always had them, was people who not only did not share the interest and commitment to resource management, they were mostly helped along by women and minorities that had come in that were big members of the Humane Society, the Wilderness Society, Greenpeace and other organizations, and just believe deep in their heart, and I'm not knocking these people, but they just believe deep in their heart that we should never manage whales, even if they impugn our commercial fisheries, We should never kill a mountain lion. We should not have hunting going on. We should not be cutting trees. We should not be grazing out there. We should be restoring whatever animal somebody tells us was here before all these dirty Europeans came here and spoiled this wonderful paradise.
Well, I like the part about how we're not really restoring it to a point in history that's actually historical. We're restoring it to an imaginary imaginary place. We've got to take a quick break. We've got to step out of the imaginary place. Bob's giving me the high side. We'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. We're talking to Jim Beers here on We the People Radio, KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Don't miss the end-of-the-year sale at Crown Motors. Going on now through New Year's Eve. Every vehicle marked down for immediate sale. Save on new cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot, including Ford, Dodge, Honda, Lincoln, Nissan, and Ram. Year-end rebates, year-end discounts, and factory incentives available. And save on a huge selection of clean, quality pre-owned vehicles reduced to sell. Don't miss the huge savings going on now through New Year's Eve at the Crown Motors end-of-year sale.
2012 will be remembered for a lot of things. One of them, the remarkable number of entertainers, sports figures, politicians, and newsmakers who died.
It's one small step for man.
We're Penn State. I'm proud of you folks.
I'm Mike Wallace.
J.R.'s golden rules. Don't forgive and don't forget.
Hi, Dick Clark live in Times Square. Be listening for The Way They Were, a special presentation from Fox News Radio.
Listen this New Year's Day at 7 a.m. on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
I love that dirty water. Oh, Boston, you're my home. Oh, yeah. Well, I love that dirty water.
So that's the Standells? Is it Standells or Standells?
The Standells.
Standells.
Good one.
60s?
Classic garage rock from the 60s.
Garage rock.
Love that dirty water.
Is that the 60s?
That was the 60s.
That is
Boy, they sure had their
funny.
Own sound, didn't they? In the 60s?
You can remember the 60s. You weren't there.
You obviously didn't spill your coffee on your socks this morning. You drank yours, didn't you?
You're fun.
I'm still working on it.
Ah, that's good.
All right. Okay.
Oh, by the way, I'll duck in a shameless plug here. Bob Belongi and I are guest hosting for Carl and Linda tomorrow morning on the final 2012 edition of Free Fire Radio. Tune in 7 to 9.
And may I just
and call
say,
in 7 to 9 probably, huh?
And may
please call in.
Yeah, and may I just say that the Tea Party is not meeting tomorrow night.
In Reading.
We're not doing anything tomorrow.
That does not mean you get off your assignment of
duty.
Calling in at 8 o'clock
All right,
every morning.
I'll call in. I'll call in and say, we're not meeting tonight. Don't show up.
Don't go there. All right. Back to you, Jim. So, okay, before we went on the break, I wanted to make sure we just tagged this in here because, honestly, a lot of these quote-unquote restoration plans have nothing to do with returning to a point in factual history.
Oh, that's correct. That's without a doubt. I mean, that anybody that believes otherwise is just being foolish or just trying to delude themselves.
Well, like they want water. I see this all the time up in Siskiyou County. They want water quality that never existed, actually. If they take those dams out, they want to return to the way it was before, so it'll be better for the fish. Mm-hmm. Well, that's totally stupid. If they take the dams out, just one issue they'll have for one, parts of the Klamath go dry. So dry rivers don't support fish, last time I checked, although I am not a wildlife biologist.
It's not really about the fish.
Yeah,
it's really about the private property.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the funny thing about all of this is that we keep trying to dispute the science when, in fact, we know that the science is completely false and inaccurate and complete joke. But at the end of the day, it's not about the fish. And we get sidetracked a little bit by that argument, but in fact it's really about stripping us of our private property rights.
See, but I can say to you, oh yeah, what do you know? You don't have a degree in this. You're not a PhD. And we've got Professor Beers over here that says blah, 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 who's a bought and paid for, you know, whatever you want to call him.
But we all have a degree in the U.S. Constitution.
Amen.
We know that.
Amen. But see, these people that you're dealing with in these agencies. Now, the state, too, they have spent the last 30 years being shown that they don't have to worry about the Constitution. It started back in the early 70s with the Endangered Species Act. The federal government could just come onto your property and say, well, Aaron, you those 60 acres out there behind your place there where you got all that brush, why, there's an endangered warbler out there nesting there, and so you can't graze out there anymore, and you can't cut down those trees because they would nest in those trees, blah, 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 blah. And you turned around and said, oh, are you kidding me? Well, why don't you buy it? Well, we don't have to buy it. It's critical habitat. Well, I mean, if you're going to tell me I can't use it, if I can't sell that when my kids want to go to college and use that as the money to send them through, what, you got to pay me for that. You're taking it. Well, no, we're not taking it. We're just declaring it. Once they got started doing that and getting away with it,
mm-hmm.
it was Katie bar the door for all this stuff.
Sure. Well, it makes the land worthless.
Saying things like we should restore the environment. What is that about? I mean, think about that.
Well, you have
what is that?
Down here, we have a place along Interstate 5 where one of the paper companies bought, I don't know how many acres, a bunch. It's in the middle of dry, it's like dry rolling hills. I mean, dry rolling hills. Okay. You wouldn't even really want to walk around out there. You'd just incinerate in the summertime. And, so they planted all these, eucalyptus trees. They were going to harvest them for paper. So they were going to, you know, plant them, grow them, harvest them, and keep mm-hmm. doing that because they grow fast.
Mm-hmm.
So when the trees grew up, some, I don't know, I've lost track of the details, but some environmental group went in there. Oh, you have fairy shrimp in there. The fairy shrimp were on the ground. I don't even know what a fairy shrimp is, but they were on the ground. My guess is because, gee whiz, now that ground was being watered. Well, it wasn't watered naturally. It was being watered. They were growing trees. So the Simpson paper was actually leveraged into giving them a huge portion of the land along the freeway so everyone could see the trees that are ugly, stupid, crammed together and falling down.
And they don't fit into the environment. I mean, they're standing out there by themselves. I mean, every time you drive by, you think, huh?
It looks like a mohawk. It's like a mohawk running through this dry, arid landscape.
Yeah.
But they extorted land from them.
Well, sure, and they do it because they can.
Exactly.
Because the state bureaucrats are in it with them, and the federal bureaucrats are encouraging them and having meetings in the evenings with the people in the non-government organizations that are going to sue about it. The fact is that they should never, ever have been allowed to have that kind of authority or in on private property as they've developed in the last 30 to 40 years.
And, you know, the thing is, what happens is it's creeping, and they come in, and there's always that person that wants to do the right thing and follow the rules. And those are the people that start this disaster that starts rolling downhill.
That's right, yep. They're the ones that'll take the easement offer that blocks where the road went through or the easement went through or somebody might want to move their cattle through or whatever. And the federal government paid for that for the Nature Conservancy or somebody to take it because specifically they knew that's what was going on. When I travel around the West especially, I see so many examples of this, whether it's Native Americans using casino money to stop a small town from putting in a sewage plant, or it's the Nature Conservancy or one of its subsidiaries using federal money, using federally subsidized money to go in and take key easements to block where the cattle move through and back and forth to their summer range anymore, so they can't do that, and to close down grazing allotments and to even block roads that would make it more accessible to go to certain towns. And they stop all that stuff because ultimately they want it cleared out and they can get away with this. I mean, they're sitting there, whether it was the fairy shrimp under the eucalyptus trees or one of them in one of their meetings or something said, you know, I noticed that there's a cactus out there that I've only seen up in Oregon. And then they get some cactus guy go out there and say, wow, this cactus has got a double-tipped spine on it. Wow, this is amazing. This is a new species, blah, 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 and all, you're off to the races again. They should not have that kind of authority, potentially at all. If in fact, the darn fairy shrimp is so valuable to this country, then let the people who are so concerned about the fairy shrimp raise the money and try to buy it or try to work out an easement with the paper company. But they don't have to do that because they can go to their pal in the Cal Fish and Game or their person over there in the Fish and Wildlife Service office that's been working with them for years or the guy up there in the Forest Service office in the watershed that comes down to that, and they can work out this deal or where they're going to just force them to abandon that or to turn over all kinds of shakedown stuff to them, and it'll never stop because the people that you're dealing with can get away with this. The people back in Chicago having Chardonnay as we speak, and the ones in New York and the, you know, walking down the street right now to go into Central Park all think that's wonderful. Did you hear they're saving the fairy shrimp out there in the eucalyptus trees? Why? If it wasn't for our money that we've sent into the whoever Natural Resources Defense Council, they'd have never got that done. That's wonderful. I think we ought to send more money because we all think it's a great thing that those people out there are put under these pressures because they don't belong out there. They ought to live in the city here like we do, say.
Yeah,
that's really what's driving this. But the government's allowed this pernicious legal, I don't know what to call it, thing, to exist and to prosper, where we can force private property owners and families and everything off the land and out of work. Who'd have ever thought that in passing these laws we'd be tearing down dams up in Oregon, that we'd be closing down logging and having little towns dry up and blow away, and we're still buying and easing land all over the country. But because they've got this power anymore, they've stopped, even the federal government has stopped paying out what they call payment in lieu of taxes, which for the last 70 or 80 years, up till the 90s, they gave each county a certain amount of money annually based on the acreage that they owned in the county. Now, that was really a voluntary thing for decades to not get the counties so that they would oppose more land acquisition. So the argument went that, oh, you know, if we buy the land, the federal government, you're not going to have kids living on there, and you're not going to have to send a school bus out there, and you won't have to build any roads out there. We'll take care of the roads, blah, 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 and we'll give you a little bit of money on the side. What a deal, huh? So all the county commissioners in the state said, yeah, that sounds fair. Well, they just stopped doing that. They don't do it anymore because they don't need to, because they've got all these other tools in their little toolboxes, as they say at their conferences, to go out there and get you off the land. They'll close down the logging. They're going to close down the grazing. And that takes the revenue sharing for the local government and the state out of the picture, so they aren't getting that money anymore. They stop paying the payment in lieu of taxes, so more and more people have more and more problems in the small town. The small town government, or the county government, has less and less revenue to work with, so it just starts drying up. And then to cap it all off, we'll dump a few wolves in there, and we'll even say the grizzly bear belongs out there. A couple of people will get killed. A lot of cattle will get eaten. Kids are going to look outside and see old Buffy the Golden Retriever getting torn apart by two wolves in the yard. Some other kids are going to have go home and tell Mom that, gee, Mom, there was some wolves at the bus stop this morning, and they kind of followed us, you know.
That's the
when
kicker
we were going
right
out
there.
You know, and so do you stick around? You can't. The grazing allotments are gone. And it's getting more and more difficult to live out there. Do you think a retired person's going to come out there and buy a house to retire into out in the old Homestead County or whatever, when they just heard that, well, you know, there's a kid was attacked right over there just a little while ago. You know, there was, they say that there was a lot of dogs killed in this town last winter when there was wolves down near the town. They just had an awful time with it. Do you think people are going to come move out there? No.
No. And you know, it's funny when people say, well, they're not forcing anyone off the land. Well, I'm sorry, but when they do things like, you know, they press this dam removal, if you have property just below it that'll be flooded out and gone, how saleable is your property? So,
exactly.
Honestly,
exactly,
you are
right.
Forcing people off the land. We've got to take a really quick break. We actually dilly-dallied on one, and now we're jammed up. We'll be right back in 2 minutes here at We the People Radio. We're talking to Jim Beers on KCNR 1460.
Advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
Well, I'm cooking up some ideas to straighten you out here on Sundays at KCNR 1460 AM from 10 AM to 12 noon.
Wait a minute. I can get that at home.
Well, you can, but it's more fun when everybody else is listening.
Why not listen and join in on the fun?
We entertain, inform, and just have a good old time.
Gosh, Rooney, am I in trouble?
You bet you are.
Be sure to listen Sundays from 10 to noon to Don and Judy here on 1460 AM KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
This holiday season, you may notice a change in mom or dad. Not taking medication, not eating, the refrigerator is bare, or not paying bills. They may need a little extra help. This is Jim Robinson with Senior Helpers. We can provide experienced screen caregivers from just a few hours a week up to 24/7. Help with light housekeeping, meal preparation, transportation assistance, running errands, personal care, even Alzheimer's and dementia care. If you need some help or advice, please give me a call. Senior Helpers, care and compassion at a moment's notice.
With Election Day now behind us, Fox News Radio takes a look back at what exactly happened. In 2012, America's election headquarters looks back. Join Fox News Radio's team of expert reporters, analysts, and political insiders fresh off the campaign trail who sit down to discuss the big political stories of the year.
Be listening this New Year's Day, Tuesday morning at 6 here on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR 1460 kicks off 2013 with a new lineup that includes new faces and familiar friends. Following Free Fire Radio, Mike Huckabee from 9 to 12 noon. Laura Ingram makes her triumphant return from 12 to 3, followed by Dennis Miller to round out your afternoon. It all starts January 2nd right here on KCNR 1460. Happy New Year.
A very happy New Year.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. Got a couple of minutes before our top of the hour break where you'll have a chance to refresh in your coffee and do everything you need to do and join us back after 9 o'clock, 9:05. And so we are talking to Jim Beers. The last thing you said about this whole process, stripping people of the value of their land, the thing that also occurs to me is that falls right underneath distribution of wealth.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're stripping yeah. people of inheritance. You're stripping people of building their wealth. And, you know, I think a lot of people see the word wealth and they think that means rich, but wealth is simply nothing more than having a little more coming in than you have going out. Wealth is not necessarily synonymous with rich. And I think that the term gets abused. So if you have any wealth, then we need to take it.
Well, you know, it's the old attitude, and half, I guess half of us have one idea and half have the other. There's a fixed amount of wealth out there, and the only way I'm going to get my share of it is because they've taken it away from me, is to take it away from them. That's what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other view is that the amount of wealth out there is an elastic thing, that we can all share in that, and we can all make more wealth together. And if we can keep what we've got incentives to do it, we'll all work hard and everybody will benefit. But, I mean, you talk about distribution of wealth, it just occurred to me that that's exactly what's going on here with the closure of logging and getting rid of ranchers and grazing rights and getting that, because, you know, you didn't earn that. That's not your money there. That's our money. That's the government's money that you're making a profit from on logs or on forage or on hunting or whatever, saying.
Well, see,
it's the same concept.
But Jim,
that the government, you know.
Don't you think that at the end of the day, people don't even give it that much thought, honestly? They don't.
Oh, I think you're right.
Most folks don't
really.
They
like the idea of it.
Yeah, they don't know how it works. I mean, they don't really
understand.
No, it's like
understand. The guys back in Boston saying, oh, they've got more wolves out there now. Oh, they've got them in Oregon and Washington. Isn't that wonderful? I just think that's so swell and sweet. And, you know, and all they need is a little more money here, the Defenders of Wildlife or somebody, and they'll get them in even more places, Nevada and Utah. That'll just be even more wonderful, won't it? It's just like that. I mean, they don't have any idea what's going on, and they don't ever think they're ever going to be faced with anything other than a trip out there sometime with the kids in the car, and they hope one runs across the road in front of them.
All right, we've got to take a break for the news. We're going to come back and talk some more about wolves, because honestly, that is, I think that's our next frontier. We're going to see some real pressure. We'll be back with Jim Beers here at We the People Radio in 5 minutes. Here comes the news.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Fox News Radio, I'm Sal Chiangrasso. President Obama is pressuring Republican leaders to negotiate a deal with the fiscal cliff looming just 2 days away.
Yesterday, I had another meeting with the leadership, and I suggested to them if they can't do a comprehensive package of smart deficit reduction, let's at minimum make sure that people's taxes don't go up and that 2 million people don't lose their unemployment insurance.
President Obama on NBC's Meet the Press. Democratic and Republican negotiators in the Senate are hoping for a deal as early as today on what threshold to set for increased tax rates. California's Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein.
We believe that the $250,000 threshold is the appropriate threshold. The president did make an offer, we understand, of $400,000 with $1 trillion in cuts accompanying it. That was turned down by the House.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a member of the Budget Committee, explains what he wants to see.
I'm not going to raise the debt ceiling unless we get serious about keeping the country from becoming Greece, saving Social Security and Medicare. So here's what I would like. Meaningful entitlement reform, not to turn Social Security into a private account, not to take a voucher approach to Medicare. Adjust the age for Social Security, CPI changes, and means testing, and look beyond the 10-year window.
Both senators were on Fox News Sunday. The woman accused of pushing an Indian immigrant to his death on the New York City subway is ordered to undergo a psychiatric evaluation.
Police charged 31-year-old Erica Menendez of Queens with second-degree murder as a hate crime. Cops say she admitted to pushing and killing a complete stranger in front of the 7 train Thursday night because she, quote, hates Hindus and Muslims.
Reporter Lydia Serrano of Fox TV affiliate WNYW. 3 dead, 3 others injured in an apartment building fire in San Jose, California. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
You're in the Foxlight.
It's the top-selling albums of 2012, according to Billboard, in the Foxlight. The Black Keys' El Camino kicks off at number 10. Lionel Richie had a country comeback with number 9, Tuskegee. Rihanna's 2011 release, Talk That Talk, takes number 8. Mumford & Sons' sophomore smash, Babel, lands at number 7. Tailgates and Tanlines, Luke Bryan's third album, is number 6. The number 5 selling album of 2012 is Up All Night by One Direction. Taylor Swift charts. Still hot, Red comes in at number 4. Drake kept his heat to take number 3 with Take Care. Number 2 goes to Michael Bublé's now perennial seller, Christmas. And Billboard's top-selling album of 2012, same as last year's, Adele's 21. And the Fox Life blog and podcast are always at foxnewsradio.com, free. In New York, Rob Moore, Fox News Talk.
The Fox Life.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Life on Fox News Talk.
Fewer jobs and higher prices could result from falling water levels on the Mississippi River.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says they've released a bit more water from the Carlisle Lake. It wasn't as much as many business owners and farmers had hoped for from the Missouri River, but it could get them through to mid-January. Mike Peterson with the Army Corps of Engineers says he understands their frustration, but there's a drought and they need to conserve water.
Regardless of where you're looking, that water has more than one use, and so it's not just water that is used for navigation or for hydropower, but that could be somebody's drinking water.
But the American Waterways Operators says without more water, barges and tugboats won't be able to navigate after mid-January, putting thousands of jobs and billions of dollars worth of goods in jeopardy.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. Two young boys are found safe, but their father is facing charges.
It was the news a Georgia mother longed to hear. Her two sons, ages 9 and 7, are safe. They were located at a hotel in Austin, Texas, with their father, who police say abducted them last week, triggering an Amber Alert.
A couple of guests recognized him, recognized the vehicle and the boys.
Lieutenant James McGee with the Roswell, Georgia Police Department says technology played a big part.
A very integral part of this case was information we gained from social media, people looking out and staying on social media and texting and Googling and those types of things.
The boy's father, 46-year-old Daniel Cleary, is facing charges.
That's Fox Radio's Pam Puso. Some advice from the Aspen Ski Resort. Bring your skis. Leave the camera home.
There's nothing more annoying to some vacationing celebrities. Just ask Paris Hilton. She was surprised by several photographers last week just as she finished a run on Aspen Mountain. So the resort has hired security guards to keep the paparazzi from snapping photos in its gondola plaza and from scaring off the elite visitors the town depends on. In Denver, Brenda Stewart, Fox News Radio.
Up to a foot of snow in southern New England after yesterday's storm. Salchi and Grasso, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And we're back. Hopefully you filled the coffee cup and did whatever else you needed to do and refreshed for a second hour of the big picture. Positive and enlightening and illuminating and sometimes a little scary, but, you know, an informed public is a powerful public.
We should point out there's no sound with the big picture if you're trying to get us on Chrome this morning for
streaming.
Some reason.
Yeah, if you're using Google Chrome for your browser, have trouble with sound, but got sound just fine on Firefox.
Yeah, I did too. I
and actually, why are we telling people that? Because the people using Chrome can't hear us.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's a good point. We better.
Yeah, that's right up there with that sign that that used to be in our park over on the coast. It said, "Keep seeing eye dogs on path." Not sure who was reading that, son. I guess
the
seeing eye dogs.
The
apparently,
dogs.
They can do a lot more than we thought.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious!
Yeah, so, sorry about that.
We seem to be working on what Firefox and Safari on my iPhone and everything except Chrome. Don't know what the issue is with Chrome, but we are streaming.
Okay, so go to WeThePeopleRadio.us to our webpage. You will find out everything about Jim Beers, who is our guest today. We're talking about all of our state and federal agencies and their all-out assault on private property rights under the guise of saving the fish or whatever else their perceived issue is, when in fact we all know that no better steward exists than one who is caring for and living off the land.
Sure. Those folks have a vested interest in making sure that their ground is not polluted, that their animals have clean water, and
well, and you know another thing,
you
if
know,
you
good
look,
quality
if,
forage.
If you look at a neighborhood, you've got owners and renters. Who do you think takes better care of the properties?
Owners, unless you're me.
Yeah, yeah. There are people out there that are phenomenal renters.
Yeah, but it's not the norm.
But across the board, who takes better care?
Everybody knows, you know, when the neighborhood transitions into rentals, you know what I mean?
But the property values
are
going to go down.
And those things are, we talk about those things in cities. People in cities understand that. So, I don't know. Jim, what do you see out where you are? Are people waking up to this, or is it still just the folks in rural America sort of, the little voice in the wilderness?
It depends a lot on the politics of the place you're at. If you live in California or Illinois or Massachusetts or in Minnesota, you've got a large urban voting block that really controls the state legislature, that puts the governor in and pretty well calls the shot about everything from environmental stuff to guns to taxes and whatever. And their concerns for the rural part of the state are naturally, I mean, just a fact. It's not just that you got terrible politicians in there. It's just naturally where their bread is buttered, and it's buttered by the big city mayor and the big city voters that and the guys that organize them and get them out to vote 100% for whoever's running for office, you know. And when you've got that condition, like let's take Minnesota, we've got Duluth and St. Paul and Minneapolis, who between the three of them are very strongly unionized, always been Democrat,
that
or
other
progressive
party.
Or whatever, you know, mayors and city councils, and they pretty well influence the state. So the problems with the wolves, let's take that as an example, are mostly way up near the Canadian border and down towards the middle of the state, down to the central part of the state, but they're not in and around St. Paul and Minneapolis yet, because they just haven't gotten this far, and they're not really bothering the people in Duluth. So they look on it as they vote as an environmental issue and some sort of a message, you know, it's kind of like the Blues Brothers on a mission from God, restoring these magnificent native animals, again, that we're here. And I stress this because you really ask yourself seriously, what does it mean to say, oh, they were here in 1492? When the Europeans arrived, and therefore they should be here once again. Even though we've got farms and ranches and small towns and little isolated homesteads and everything else all over these rural areas, and this goes for America in general, and people think that somehow that's a violation of the environment. And then you see that here in Minnesota. So people are pretty much where they've been for quite a while. I mean, if I go into a place in Minneapolis or St. Paul and start talking to somebody about this, they get real mad right away. Oh, you hate wolves. You're just against this. You're probably for dirty water and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no talking about it. They talk about Washington not having any dogs. It's the same thing with this. It's not just those bozos in Washington that can't come together for things. We can't come together about anything here either. I mean, I don't mean just Minnesota. But I mean just about any state. But you don't get that in a state like North Dakota or South Dakota because you don't have a large urban area. You get it in Washington State and Oregon, where Eugene and Portland and Seattle pretty well run the state. You get it a little bit in Montana, where a couple of the big cities and a couple of the college towns there pretty well have the control of the state government and the vote there for national elections and whatever. And going even a little further, I was doing this writing and talking for a couple of years before it really hit me how devastating it was back in during the First World War when they passed the amendment, I think it's the 17th Amendment, that changed the way U.S. senators were sent to Washington. Up till that time, they were appointed by the legislature of the state, okay? And they could be recalled by the legislature of the state. So they represented, whether you liked it or not, they represented your elected representatives in the state. Now, when they do that back in Washington as a senator, they get to ratify treaties. They get to pass on things like endangered species and other things that harm a lot of states. Well, it dawned on me that there were senators all over the place sponsoring Marine Mammal Protection Act, Endangered Species Act, Federal Invasive Species Authority, that was just going to just clobber rural America, and he'd get reelected. And I looked at it, and you know why? Because the Humane Society of the United States, Greenpeace, and Defenders of Wildlife, and the Nature Conservancy, and all the rest of them are there in Washington lobbying those guys, giving them money and volunteers and everything else, and getting them to represent their interests. So they go back out to the place that they're from, and they tell the people that are going to church that, oh, you know, he's really supports abortion and same-sex stuff, you know. People, oh, my God, I'll never vote for him, even though it's a lie. They'll go out there and tell him that, well, he's really for your property rights. You know, look over here. Look what he did for the dairy farmers over here. He's trying to preserve them. At the same time, he's passing this stuff that says that they can take your water and take your land and supporting the guy that puts the people in EPA that are just going to strangle you. And his party is supporting the getting rid of PILT and all this other stuff. And that was because they went to a popular election.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between a senator, now these are the guys that ratify treaties, which that's a whole other subject we could go into about UN treaties and how perverse that whole process has become to give our federal government all kinds of jurisdiction they would have never, ever been able to get, whether it was guns or property or whatever, without. Okay, but anyway, they represent these interest groups, these national interest groups and international interest groups, who will give them money and give them support. So they were meant to be a break on whatever that far off federal government would do. They were supposed to be the ones who said, "My God, you know what? They passed this thing. You know what that'll do up in Siskiyou County? For God's sake, why those guys will never get me back in here again in the legislature because." The Siskiyou County Commissioners or this, that, and the other thing. So he's sensitive to that. But now, he, she, well, you guys got two women, I guess, but now they look at that stuff,
yes,
that might strangle Siskiyou County, and they say, well, you know, that's not that big a deal. That's only a small part of the vote, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so they're AWOL on doing something about it.
Actually, I don't think they give it that much thought. We haven't had any sightings of either Boxer or Feinstein above the San Francisco line for, I don't know if ever, actually. I don't know if they've ever been to Northern California.
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't.
I think Dianne Feinstein has, actually, back when she was working with Wally Herger.
Oh,
on
that's
that,
true.
Herger Feinstein, Quincy Library.
That's
thing.
True. Yeah. She's been to at least Chester. Yeah, so that's pretty Northern California. I don't think.
Well, you know, a funny thing, you know, I give talks a lot of places, and I was at a talk up in Oregon a while back, and a woman came up afterwards and was telling me, I had been talking about how you can't get support from these national politicians, and you got to try to have your state bring pressure on them. This woman came up, and she said to me, she said, I'm from the state of Washington. She said, you don't know how bad it is because of the Native American stuff. I said, what stuff? She said, well, did you know that the McCain-Feingold Act specifically excluded Native Americans? I said, no, I didn't know that. She said, yeah, and there's billions of dollars involved in them campaigning to get a new casino right to open up one here, or even to stop another Native American group from opening a casino here because it'll compete with one they've already got. So there's lots of money. So she said, because they don't...
Bless you.
Excuse me. Because they don't have to report that money, that lobbying money, from them, she said they've all got, not all of them, but most of them that have any Native Americans in their areas where they get votes, and that's all the senators, for the most part, to be honest with you, they all have a Native American person or person responsible for Native American things on their staff to make sure that any lobbying support that they could get, that they're aware of it. So, you know, if you have a problem with the Native Americans, like I said earlier, saying that you can't build a water treatment plant over here. You can't put a road in there because that was once a sacred area or we buried people or whatever. You can't get any satisfaction from the state because they have no authority. The agencies don't have any authority on Indians, so you've got to go to your congressman or senator. So you call the office and you say, hi, my name's Jim Beers, and we've got a little issue here in Siskiyou County with the Native Americans. As soon as you say the words Native Americans, the little girl on the phone says, oh, just a minute, Mr. Beers. We've got Mr. So-and-so here that takes care of Native American affairs, and you're directed to that person. And when that person's talking to you, his whole, or her whole, shtick is to see that Native American lobbying money comes to the member's attention and he gets it. It does not consist of representing your interest when you have a controversy with Native Americans. So a lot of people just wind up being spun around and sent back out the door without ever hearing anything back from the members. So it's a big problem. And over time, it seems to me that I've come to at least come to the conclusion that we need to strengthen our local government, which in turn needs to make itself known in the state government. We got to get the states to stand up to these guys. Now, probably the last one that'll ever stand up is California or Washington or Illinois, granted. But if we don't start there, I don't know where we can ever get this genie back in the bottle, to tell you the truth.
Well, rolling back some of the policy type things, and actually, you know, as it's a Superior Court in Siskiyou County, so it's not, you know, exactly a Supreme Court case, but the fact that they were able to beat the Fish and Game on that 1602 permit issue this last week, that was pretty monumental, because at some point, you know, if nobody ever wins, if nobody on the landowner side ever wins, and, you know, Farm Bureau people were like, I don't know, guys, you're never going to make it. And they were getting, they were getting support, and they were getting money from all over the state. Different Farm Bureaus pitched in because it was expensive. The judge actually issued them court costs and attorney's fees.
Mm-hmm.
So, but apparently there's some, they may not be able to collect on it. That's still up for grabs. But she put that in her ruling, which was also a big deal. So I guess maybe if it starts costing taxpayers money, because it's coming out mm-hmm. of our pocket either way,
mm-hmm.
If it starts costing taxpayers money for the egregious overreach of the bureaucrats, there'd be a little pressure going the other direction, I would hope.
And the thing we have to go to break, but remember that Siskiyou County was a test case. I mean, if they won there, they were going to head south.
Oh, they were steamrolling. It starts in the north and rolls down. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like we read top of the page to the bottom. It's the same deal. We're going to take a quick ad break here. Thank our advertisers, because those folks did build that. We'll be right back with Jim Beers on We the People Radio.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the field, cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land, and I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialist in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
2012 was certainly a year to remember, even without talking politics. We saw a tragic shooting in a movie theater in Colorado, Superstorm Sandy devastating huge sections of the Northeast, and an attack at a U.S. consulate in Libya. We'll touch on them all and then some. Join Fox News Radio's worldwide team of reporters for 2012, a year to remember.
Be listening this New Year's Day, Tuesday morning at 8, here on AM 1460 KCNR.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
And we're back. So, we're talking about...
That's you and Elizabeth singing background there?
Oh. Yeah.
We were the Pips.
Yeah, we always are. We love to. It's
loved
fun.
It, loved it, Pip.
So, we're talking about environmental agencies, environmental onslaught of private property rights.
Who should be managing
rights.
Land, but instead...
They're taking it.
Taking it away.
Transfer of wealth. Hey, so Jim Beers is a retired U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, among other things, and his extensive biography is on WeThePeopleRadio.us. I encourage you to jump on there right now and follow along while you're listening and read up about Jim's extensive biography, research, knowledge, experience.
And then and at the end of the page, there's an email address, and if you shoot him an email, he will forward you the articles that he puts out, and they are great.
Over 1,600?
Yeah, zillions of articles
over the last several years.
They're terrific,
years.
Though, Jim. You're really you do a nice job of highlighting the issues without making it over something that's over people's heads.
I try hard to do that exactly what you said, and I'm not always successful, but when I am, it's pretty satisfying.
So, Jim, we talk big picture here, which explains a lot of the little things that are happening. How does this fall under the United Nations Agenda 21?
Oh, this, well, you know that the United Nations Agenda 21 is about getting more authority at the United Nations level to say where people will live, who will have water, who will not, what land will be farmed, all of that sort of stuff. In order to do that in the United States, you have the problem of federal government responsibilities under the Constitution and state authority, which in most states is getting weaker and weaker, even though you might say that California and Illinois and Massachusetts governments are nuts and are real oppressive tyrants. They have less and less authority with the federal government because they keep giving into them. But be that as it may, what happens is, like recently, last year and this year, there was negotiations for at the UN, for instance, for a small arms treaty that would ostensibly control guns flowing to rebel groups and revolutionaries and causing violence in third world countries, blah, blah, blah. And so they want they drop a bunch of highfalutin stuff about how the federal, not the federal, but the participating signatories in the treaty that they will propose and draft will see that guns are registered and that they're distributed only to those who should have them, and ammunition you should have to license, and they should not provide this and that and the other thing. And if we sign that, say the Secretary of State signs it, and the President then signs it, sends it over to the Senate. The House doesn't have anything to say about treaties, and the Senate ratifies it. It says in the Constitution that a duly signed and ratified treaty shall become the law of the land. So it sort of obviates or gets rid of any Second Amendment rights and sets a whole new standard. Well, they do that with saving wetlands, with preserving native species, with conserving endangered species, whatever way you want to define endangered or species. It could be subspecies and populations and everything else, as we've come to find out, that once the federal government gets that authority, because they signed a treaty that was ratified by the Senate, the same old U.S. senators we were talking about just a few minutes ago, then the federal government suddenly has all these new authorities that the Constitution specifically did not want them to have. And they didn't have to go forward and amend it and give it to us for a vote or anything else, see? So Agenda 21 items, pick one out that you like. Preserving waterways and natural water runoff for the benefit of people and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I could write you out this stuff in about a half hour that would just have you in tears. It would be so touching. But they would then write a treaty around that. We would sign it along with, I think there's 180-some countries right now in the U.N. It only takes four or five or 20 of them to sign it. Maybe you get 150 to sign it. The truth is, every time they sign these things, probably 75 or 80% of the countries that sign it never do a thing about it. You get Tanzania or something sign something so they can get some UN support dollars or something. That's a treaty to restore native grazers in, you know, places that they've been taken out of, but whatever you come up with. Nobody's going to enforce that on them. Nobody's going to call them on it. But if we're signatories to that thing in this country, then the people that want to utilize it say, well, the federal government's got to write regulations now to control all the removal of timber from slopes that are greater than 5% or whatever goofy thing you want to come up with. And the federal government suddenly has that authority. And the states are completely out of the picture. The private property owner, he's long gone, you know. Nobody's there to stand up to this new federal authority. It's all dressed up, just like the water stuff up there in Siskiyou County, all dressed up in this flowery language about restoring the native species and the clean water and blah, 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 and the trouts and the salmon and, you know, whatever, whatever, you know. So it's all about getting new authority at the federal level, and you can get that through these UN treaties. And the truth is, the Constitution was written with the traditional notion of what's a treaty. That's something we would sign with France. And we would say, you do this and this, and we'll do this and this. And if France didn't do that, or we wanted to stop doing this, we just got rid of the treaty, absolve it. You sign one of these UN things, and it's like that tar baby in Uncle Remus. See, I mean, you can't get away from it. You can't, well, you already signed it. How do you back out of it? You know, and how, the other guys aren't doing this, well, that doesn't matter, see? It's a whole new ball game. That's just another one of the tools they've got to oppress people and give the federal government, the central government, all the power and authority to make Stalin envious, I would guess.
Well, there are a lot of people out there. We do, you know, lots of our programs intersect with the Agenda 21. To call it an issue really sort of belies the depth of the problem, but
it's the reason for everything.
Sure. I mean, it all kind of connects up there, and yet we still have people who say that it's just crazy California environmental nuttiness.
Yeah, black helicopters and all that.
Yeah, or that it's emanating from California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's just our bad policy here bleeding over into the rest of the country.
And I think Agenda 21 is a term that white ring fanatics coined. But it's literally on the United Nations website.
Yep. And, you know, it's like you said earlier, too. Most people give it no thought. And oftentimes when I try to explain that to people, like if I'm at a meeting and I talk to them after I've spoken or something, I mean, their eyes just glaze over. Mm-hmm. The UN, this conspiracy, let's talk about baseball or something. I mean, they just, it's just so hard to talk about that in terms or write about it in terms that somebody will look at and say, oh, my God, really? And it's a tough thing to get through to folks. It really is.
And you got to wonder why some of us are aware and care and educate ourselves and understand what's at stake. I mean, why is it that there's a select group of people that are completely on board?
Well, you know, they say that in a Revolutionary War, that a third of the people, you know, were wanted to revolt against England, and change things and get England out of here. Another third wanted to keep England here, and the other third, they just wanted to be left alone. They didn't care one way or the other. So maybe it's just a human nature thing.
Yeah.
Even at extremes like that, where a lot of those people were fairly well, I don't mean educated like Jefferson, but they were informed, and they had left Europe with a system that none of them liked. That's why they came here. And they came here, and they had things that they began to appreciate, and still even there. You know, they say about a third, you know.
Hmm. Well, I do know that the more we look at this from all the different angles and all the different things that are going to affect people, the more likely it is that it'll hit a hot-button issue that's close enough to home that people will say, wait a minute, what's up with that?
And that's kind of what it takes.
I think it has to be personal.
That's exactly right. You keep throwing enough of it up there, and maybe some of it's going to stick.
That always works. We'll be right to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Jim Beers here for the balance of the half hour. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Redding's full-line gun shop offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Everybody's talking about Tapas Downtown Restaurant and Bar, bringing fresh new flavors to downtown Redding. A great place to meet for any meal, Tapas Downtown is locally owned and offers a casual dining experience and an all-original menu. The holidays are coming, and we are currently taking reservations for our private banquet room. No rubber chickens on our menu, Tapas will make your event special. Find us in downtown Redding on Oregon Street or call 247-7299. Tapas Downtown, always fresh, always delicious, never a dull meal.
2012 will be remembered for a lot of things. One of them, the remarkable number of entertainers, sports figures, politicians, and newsmakers who died.
It's one small step for man.
We're Penn State. I'm proud of you folks.
I'm Mike Wallace.
JR's golden rules. Don't forgive and don't forget.
Hi, Dick Clark live in Times Square.
Be listening for The Way They Were, a special presentation from Fox News Radio.
Listen this New Year's Day at 7 a.m. on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line. Let the guns folks settle us. We'll sing a victory tune. And we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men. For my horses.
I love that song.
I do.
Or in this case, Beers for My Horses.
Yeah, Beers for My Horses.
Speaking of Jim Beers.
There you go. Jim, that was probably one of the many theme songs that you already have in your family collection.
That was a beautiful segue.
That's right.
Robert always tries to make the music fitting.
It's a beautiful
thing. And he does a wonderful job, by the way.
Robert makes great. The page fitting and Bob makes the music fitting.
Great additions to our team.
All right. So, okay. What have we not done here on our lengthy list? We've talked about land closures. How about this? Anything off the before we, you know, wind up with that. Oh, 30 seconds left. Anything people should be doing or watching for? Let's say that we have people out there that think, well, I don't think this is happening in my area. This isn't happening where we live.
Oh, it's happening all over.
What would they see? What should they be noticing?
Well, any federal program that has anything to do with rural America, you need to look at pretty carefully. Whether it's pollution regulations for duck farms or a new historic preservation declaration introduced by your congressman for seven counties in the mountains or something that was there because they had some battles in there or whatever. All of that stuff you've got to really, really look at very carefully and frankly, keep it away from your county if you can. And
now, why would that be a bad thing? Like historic preservation, now that would rope in lots of people who'd say, that's a good thing.
They did one in western Virginia, right near the West Virginia border in the mountains of Virginia when I lived there. And everybody was just so enthralled with it. The congressman out there introduced and they passed a historic preservation thing for seven counties there. I think it was seven. Along the thing where a lot of the Civil War action took place, but people really didn't know about it. So what they did was they gave $2 million a year of federal money to a historic preservation board to maintain and identify and protect, blah, 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 the historic sites in there, places where some Confederates might have camped or the whatever, whatever. And really what it turned out to be within a year, and people just went bonkers, these people stopped roads from being straightened, they stopped small towns from expanding, they put clamps on people that had a farm or ranch, putting a new house back in the woods or whatever, because there may have been something there and they hadn't done sufficient explanation of the archaeological things there. They just brought the place to a stop. And the county commissioners, who all thought it was a great deal to begin with because they saw this as kind of manna from heaven dropping from Washington, suddenly were getting everybody screaming at them. And they went to the state, and the state kind of went back and forth, and they didn't know if they should do that because everybody loves it, especially the people in northern Virginia and down in Richmond and over in Norfolk. Oh, that's wonderful. They're going to preserve our whatever. And all it was just a big federal program to further diminish farming, development of homes and small town economies and jobs and everything else. And the people that were running it, the people that got the money from the federal government, were just like the people in these agencies who, again, if you got them in a coffee shop some morning over in a booth in the corner and got to talking to them for a while, would tell you that, well, there's really already too many people out here, and you know the water's getting so bad here, and the air is bad because they've all got fireplaces, and we really need to restore this to what it was before, and it's a place eventually where we think that there should be large predators brought back in, blah, 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 and they shouldn't be hunting out here in the whole nine yards. So that was, something that looked just so wonderful, and how could anybody be against that? It was just awful. It just had this whole Agenda 21 thing written all over it. But trying to convince people of that is difficult, but you need, I guess I say you need to have a strong local government. Because for one thing, if you've got a county commissioner or whatever you call them in your county that won't fight for you, you can get rid of them. You can run somebody and get rid of that guy. It gets tougher if you've got somebody going that's getting elected into your state legislature, although they're still, you can still do that. It's very difficult. Now, when it comes to the U.S. congressman, now you're really talking big league, tough job getting rid of somebody who's kind of screwing you into the ground in your community or whatever. When it comes to a U.S. senator, that's almost as bad as trying to change a president or something. You don't have any control on that. So you've got to get strong local government advocates that work with the state and work with the federal agencies and the state agencies and convince them all that the federal government can't just come in here and do A, B, and C, and you've got to reorient your state government. And I know this sounds hard, but it's you got to reorient them to the role that they play, which is to protect your community.
Sure.
You have certain things that you respect that all Americans get. But beyond that, your community is the one who should be deciding if you're going to have grizzly bears in there. Your community is the one that should be deciding about whether or not you're going to make the EPA standards so stringent that all of those farmers are going to go out, or you're going to give the federal government jurisdiction over your water all of a sudden. You've got to, the state's got to protect your communities. And the way to get good state politicians is to have a good farm team at the local level. But the accountability thing and having a local government that fights for you, I think, is the best thing to look for all of us right now. And boy, I'll tell you, you look any of these gift horses that come from the federal government in the mouth, for
uh-huh.
sure. And don't, I'll be honest with you, I mean, this sounds harsh. I wouldn't trust anybody from the federal government. Now, that doesn't mean they're all bad people, but they are not going to send somebody out to talk to you or explain things to you who is not parroting the company line. And they will either not answer you when they don't want to, or they will just flat out lie to you. And when it's over, that's just too bad. You got no recourse on it. So they are very, very harsh about the way they're implementing these very draconian policies. They're getting more and more so because they never get called on it. None of them ever get into trouble personally. They're like those people in the State Department with this Benghazi thing. Oh, yeah, they're all going to resign in there and whatever. And we come to find out, well, they're still working there. You know, they've got a different job, whatever. It's like that that's the notion that all of the federal employees have, that they are above reproach. And so when it comes to dealing with you or explaining something to you that some politician introduced just so he can get reelected or whatever, then you can't trust them.
You can't
trust them.
And at the end of the day, every person has their own personal small community. Their own personal life, everything about a person's life and their environment is usually the things that are closest to them. And I think that's why it is so critical that your local government is strong and stands against the onslaught of the state and federal agencies. Because if we talk about these things affecting people personally, if we talk about the fact that people don't wake up until it hits them directly, that's usually the level that it happens at, is the local level. Plus, that empowers people. They can do things at the local level.
Doesn't
that they
take
can't,
as many people either.
And that they can't do at any other level. There's no way that I in Redding, California, have any ability to change anything at the federal level in Washington, D.C. But I can sure make a difference in Redding, California.
You know, just a real quick example to you that I think might serve your listeners well. Down in Arizona and New Mexico, they've been trying to stuff wolves in there along that border, running from Mexico on up in those two states, for going on 20 years now. And they've had terrible problems with them because there's not much to eat out there. And the wolves
build
bus stops with like cages. But think about this. 7 counties, some of them in Arizona and some in New Mexico, formed their own coalition. Now think about that. Two different states, counties, formed their own coalition, which is almost, in some sense, like their own state. Because they work together to try to handle the federal government and all the problems associated with these wolves. I'm looking at an award on my wall right now that I got back in 2004 from the Coalition of Arizona, New Mexico Counties. Now, if two states, the counties in two different states, can come together, make common cause there, then maybe there's a lot more hope than we think in counties coming together within the state or in the state legislature in a rural coalition or a coalition for other kinds of purposes that elevates the rights and problems and responsibilities and that of various counties within the state, even in a place like California.
Yeah, even in a place like California. Well, we're seeing some good cooperation with the folks in southern and eastern Oregon, especially on the wolf issue. We're going to come right back with Jim Beers, finish off the hour. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
God is in you, not in the water. He is somewhere.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Pulse Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhart, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
KCNR 1460 kicks off 2013 with a new lineup that includes new faces and familiar friends. Following Free Fire Radio, Mike Huckabee from 9 to 12 noon. Laura Ingram makes her triumphant return from 12 to 3, followed by Dennis Miller to round out your afternoon. It all starts January 2nd right here on KCNR 1460. Happy New Year.
A very happy New Year.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
So gather up your jackets, move it to the exit. I hope you have found a friend. Closing time, every new beginning comes from some other.
We're with Jim Beers, retired U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I encourage you to go to wethepeopleradio.us, check out Jim's biography, and email him asking for some of the articles that he's written. There's an email address at the bottom of the page that you can contact Jim with, and he has over 1,600 layman's term articles to his credit. Encourage you to get on his email list.
It's easy email, too. Jim Beers, J-I-M-B-E-E-R-S, 7, the number 7, at comcast.net.
And, folks, this is the greatest way to get information out. We have to utilize our email addresses and our social medias and everything at our disposal to get the word out far and wide. So please take advantage of that opportunity. So we have a caller on the line. Don, you've got a question for Jim?
No question there, Elizabeth. Actually, I wanted to address his coalition concept. California has that. We have 30 out of 58 counties, and it's a long-time coalition, mostly of the northern California counties, as I remember it. You can actually Google it. You know, Erin usually has her computer in front of her, right?
Yes, she does.
You can check it out under counties. And it's a good coalition. It has quite an organization.
What's it called?
A coalition of California counties, something to that effect, the CCCC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's there. We looked into it a while back, and it's a matter of utilizing it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what are we doing with it? Anything?
Yeah, really not. And that was one of the disappointments. It's like Jim says, trying to get people on board is a toughie.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's easy to say, oh, it won't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Bad answer.
It is good to know that we have that going on. So I won't take any more of your time. Well,
thanks for calling, Don. Thanks for listening.
You betcha. Good show, good program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And, you know, in addition to the citizens' coalitions, you know, we've got such a strong sheriff's coalition in Northern California and Southern Oregon as well.
Absolutely. It's great. I'll bring these together, make things happen.
So hopefully you've got a strong, and that is another thing. You know, the sheriff is the most powerful law enforcement officer in the country, and he has the ability to stand between you as a private citizen and the federal government. So at a local level, that's where you want to focus your efforts on getting a constitutional sheriff into office.
Absolutely. No, you're right. What's Jim's comment on that?
I agree. Excuse me. I agree 100% with everything you've said, and I'm really heartened to hear that you've got a coalition like that, at least in place.
It's been there a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just great that we need to make those things active and use them wisely.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Have a good one. You betcha.
Hey, have a happy new year.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jim, we've got 5 minutes or so. Where would you like to tell folks here at the end?
Well, I just like to tell you that I think we've got to keep hope. It's so easy to get discouraged with this stuff, especially this environmental and animals business, the wild stuff and the domestic thing, over the last few years, because the federal government has made so much progress in getting more and more authority, and the state governments, particularly the bureaucracies, the agencies, have gotten to where they believe, the employees believe, that not only they work mainly for the federal government, but many of them look to the federal government for a future job that pays better, or a job after they retire, and they don't see themselves as servants of the people in the state for which they're working. And that's got to change. That people have got to be not reluctant to express yourself to these people that present themselves as authorities, because they've gotten away for many years now with just sort of dismissing ranchers and loggers and hunters and those people from that little town over there.
All those plaid
people.
Out of
hand, you know, and they work for us. And they've got to be responsive to us, just like our politicians do. Our, meaning ultimately our state politicians as well as our congressmen and our senator. And not just, you know, to their own, feathering their own nest by getting money from people from the World Wildlife Fund or the UN or other places like that, and they should be able to tell us all where they're getting money from too. That's a big thing, that the degree to which we're aware of where these men and women get their financial support to stay in office from is a big factor that we should have more access to.
Yeah, and that is not difficult to find. I mean, you can find all the financial contributions to anybody who's in elected office is all online.
On your Secretary of State website.
Correcto. And then and the other thing, too, we want to make sure not to gloss over, because we're going to hear more and more and more of this, is the process of grants. You know, so many times at all levels of government, but especially local, our counties are, and our cities, too, are just, well, you know, we have to do that. We have to be in that regional water thing if we're going to get our grant money.
Well, I would go further and say that you need to be really, really critical about your universities, because they are bought and paid for by the federal government. They want a certain output, they want a certain perspective, and they can buy it at the state universities. And the university professors, who are sympathetic to begin with, know exactly what kind of outcome that they want. And you've got to remember that the state bureaucracies, let's just take any fish and game department. Those guys are sitting there watching hunting and fishing and trapping and the active management of predators and that being pushed aside and diminished. And they've got to wonder where their next meal's coming from, how they're going to make money to get their daughters married off and pay the kids through college just like the rest of us. And they're convinced, and they go along with the story about, well, and I heard this when I was in Washington with Clinton people in meetings. Oh, you know, in a couple of years, there's going to be states that won't allow any trapping anymore, and hunting will be out of the way, and then things are going to get better. And they envision the federal government, the Congress, replacing that lost money from logging revenue and grazing revenue and hunting and fishing revenue that runs those agencies, they see that being replaced by a kind of grant for reestablishing the native ecosystem, where they're going to go out there and do all this airy-fairy stuff and evaluate things and research things and interpret things and educate the environment and all this kind of stuff, as what's going to replace their jobs, where the pay comes from. So they're very, very sensitive to not being perceived as somebody who's against the inevitable future right around the corner, because they want to keep their jobs. So you got a lot of agendas swirling around there as you sit down with somebody and talk to them. It's not the same game warden your dad and your grandpa dealt with, and it's not the same wildlife biologist that your teacher told you about when you were in grade school that would come in and explain to you about migration of birds and that. These are very different people with very different values and agendas, and we've got to deal with them. And in straightening things out, we got to keep that in mind.
Well, I think that I think we've hit on just, you know, a ton of different things, but all centering again on that same idea that, honestly, if you want to live in a country, in a free country, where you can work, keep what you earn, you know, within reason.
have a lifestyle of your choosing.
There you go, with what you're willing to work for, mm-hmm, buy property mm-hmm. that you can reasonably sell, mm-hmm. you know, at a fair market value
pass
at some
down
point in the
inheritance
future.
Inheritance to your children.
Yeah, buy produce that's grown in this country. Get meat that's grown, you know, that's raised here. We're going to have to step up, folks, big time.
Thank you, Jim Beers.
Amen, and thank you for having me on.
Jim, we appreciate it. We hope to have you back. Thanks a
great
lot,
fun.
Folks. Have a happy new year. 2013 right around the corner.
And email Jim Beers. Find the information at wethepeopleradio.us. And next week, the tragedy that is Obamacare.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Elizabeth. Happy New Year.
No,
what
thank
all.
You, Bob.
You're
good night,
welcome.
Good night, John Boy.
It's 10 o'clock. Casey and our Shasta ready.
Fox News Radio. I'm Sanchi and Grasso. The Senate's working on a slimmed-down deal to avert the across-the-board tax hikes that are possible as part of the fiscal cliff. New York Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer blames House Republicans for lack of a compromise.
The real question mark is the House. The House is a bit out of control. They're the reason we've had the problems all along.
But Arizona Republican Senator John Kyle says the GOP's been dealing with spending cuts.
Some people have tried to talk about the reductions in spending that are necessary to get our fiscal house in order. That would be the Republican side.
But both Schumer and Kyle were on ABC's This Week. And if lawmakers can't hammer out a deal?
I was modestly optimistic yesterday, but we don't yet see an agreement. And now the pressure's on Congress to produce. If they don't, what I've said is that in the Senate, we should go ahead and introduce legislation that would make sure middle-class taxes stay where they are, and there should be an up or down vote.
As talks to avoid the fiscal cliff go right down to the wire, President Obama is putting the onus on Republicans to avoid the massive tax hikes and spending cuts that are coming. The president charging Republicans won't say yes to multiple offers, telling NBC's